Luke says, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem.
When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain that is called Olivet, he said to his disciples, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.'"
It's on to them.
"Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, so the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice.
Is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Please sit down. I just want to thank God for this opportunity just to come up here and be able to share God's Word. All we do as preacher is try to explain God's Word and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, and we know that it can only be God that can open your heart and prepare your heart to receive the Word. So it's His we see, His Word to be given or received, and I'm just a vessel trying to explain it. So what I want to share with you is that I'm going to be in the process of putting up a video clip here. And I think all of us here have many opportunities to watch movies about Jesus Christ. And some are good and some are really bad. In fact, I just finished the first season of The Chosen, and I'm really, really, really impressed with that series. They filled in some of the pieces, took liberty on that, but at the same time, they kept to the truth of the story. And the person who portrayed Jesus was, in my understanding of what Jesus would have looked like, from, you know, all kinds of ways of understanding the culture and all that, that this is probably the closest, you know, that I have ever seen a person playing Jesus with regard to that culture and to the Jewish history. But this one is not. The clip I'm going to present to you is not. It's going to be very obvious, especially for those people who have seen it. It's called Jesus of Nazareth. And it was done in 1977, and it was an epic, truly an epic movie. Hollywood decided to make this Jesus of Nazareth a huge movie with lots and lots of people. They wanted to do it the best, and Hollywood sometimes does do that well, but they chose a very English-looking Jesus with blue eyes. But that's not the point. The point is that sometimes when we're looking at movies, they try to describe to us what it looks like when Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. You know, and sometimes they don't really put that type of understanding well out there. I believe, as I read Scripture and know by Scripture, that this really describes the enormity of Palm Sunday and how Jesus came into Jerusalem the beginning of that week. So please, Paul, turn that on.
He raised Lazarus from the dead.
Who is this Jesus of Nazareth?
He's a prophet, a great prophet.
A prophet? On a donkey?
Blessed to the healer of the sick! You have come to deliver us! This is the man who Isaiah said, Jerusalem, daughter of Zion, behold thy king cometh unto thee, humble and meek.
Son unto the Lord, son of David.
Master, you are the hope of Israel.
You are our prophet and our savior.
I hope you got sort of a sense how large this was. You know, it was right around Passover. Passover is the greatest holiday for the Jewish people. And the temple is right there in Jerusalem. The temple, which they consider to be the place of God, the symbol of God's greatness. And they come together, people from all over the places, throughout in the country as well as other countries, they come there to be a part of this great, great week. And on top of that, there's lots and lots of people. So we, as we understand the Passover and Palm Sunday, it wasn't just a handful of people that were out there just praising God. It was many, many hundreds of them. Because there's over, I don't know how many thousands of people, close to 250,000 people are in Jerusalem at the time. So this was huge. So we get an idea. But the key is, if you think about it, Jesus never made that type of announcement. Anywhere he went, he didn't sit there and blast the horns and tell everybody that I'm going to be here. Jesus, God had it purposely set where this was going to be something very great, very large, and that Jesus needed to be announced in a very special way. So let's look at the text and see what we can learn today. So they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the people where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Before that, Jesus actually told his disciples that, I want you to go into Jerusalem. I want you to go to this place, and you're going to find a colt. You know, and the guys, you know, they're looking at him going, well, yeah, just go to the stranger, tell him that I'm the one that brought you here and I need the colt. And they did that and they brought the colt back. Now Jesus is on that colt entering into Jerusalem, and we have this beautiful scene, this glorious scene of Jesus comes in. Why did God started the Passover week this way? Why? Jesus made a public announcement, had people all over the place listening and hearing that he's coming in. What was the purpose of that? What was the purpose of it? Well, I believe this tells it very clearly. So there is a prophet, a prophecy in Zechariah 9 that talks about this type of situation. God set this up long time ago. Rejoice, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. For your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey. Now, this is very significant because why would a great king come in on a donkey? A donkey is an animal, a burden, a person who an animal who carries things. He is very affectionate. He's not in any way resembled to a horse, especially a war horse. A war horse is amazing. And even when God was explaining to Job, and that God was getting a little upset with Job, and basically Job, stand up, take this as a man. He says, and he kept telling him, are you the one that did this and this? And he gets down to the horse. Do you give the horse his might? Do you clothe his neck with a mane? Do you make him leap like the locust? His majestic snorting is terrifying. He paws in the valley, exults in his strength. He goes out to meet the weapons. He laughs at fear and is not dismayed. He does not turn back from the sword. Upon him rattle the quiver, the flashing spear, and the javelin. These are the words of God speaking to Job, telling us what these horses are like, these war horses. With fierceness and rage, he swallows the ground. He cannot stand still at the sound of the trumpet. When the trumpet sounds, he says, "Aha!" He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. I don't know if you know it, but throughout history, a great commander, a great person going into battle, a king that goes into the battle, is on a charger, on a battle horse. It signifies that he is ready to go battle, and he has a horse that symbolizes this. In fact, there actually are recorded names of great war horses throughout history. Yeah, great. One of them was the Alexander the Great's horse. His name is Bakphalas. He described as having a black mane with a large white star on the brow. Was a massive creature with a massive head. He was known to help Alexander Great to go into battle. Why is this important? Because there is a significant difference between a donkey and a horse. But also we know that Jesus will come back on a white horse, a war horse. We need to make that very clear. In Revelations, it talks about Jesus coming back with on his side, Lord of Lords, and he's coming back. I saw a rider open, and therefore me with a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. This is the horse. This is the battle scene at the end of ages. This is the battle scene that many Jewish people were hoping to have because they were so overwhelmed with the tyranny of Rome. This is the land that God gave them, Jerusalem and Israel. And they struggled. They struggled with the fact that they cannot own this land. The government, the laws restricted the Jewish people. And they were hoping one day, and there's actually a tomb in Jerusalem, a tomb of David, that a horse, a warrior will come back on a horse, taking in charge in a great battle. Well, that's not what happened. This battle is amazing. It is crazy amazing. But the greatest battle that this world has ever seen and received is what's going to happen here in the next couple minutes. So what happened is that people were coming in and they saw Jesus. And we see that. And they do. They give Jesus a king's welcome. Bless God. Praise God. And Jesus comes on a donkey. Now, the beautiful thing about a donkey, they're humble, they're a beast of burden, they're affectionate, they're loving, they connect with their family, but also a donkey has a uniqueness about it. One of the ways that people protect their sheep in the Middle East is they provide a donkey to be in the corral in the area where the sheep is, because a donkey will protect the sheep. They're very, very good. They connect with the family, and they're like guard dogs. So there is something about donkey that brings in a sense of defense, a sense of protection. Jesus comes in instead on a white horse. He comes on a donkey. But it's still, God is telling us, Jesus is entering into the largest, greatest battle that this world has ever, ever, ever experienced. The battle against sin, the battle against death, the battle against principalities, evil principalities, the battle against Satan. This was huge. And towards the end, as you heard in the passage, I tell you, the Pharisee says, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." The religious leaders were very, very threatened by what has happened. I mean, there was a large group of people. They're giving their alliance to Jesus. They felt greatly threatened by this. In the same way, they tried to rebuke Jesus and say, "Shut up your disciples, stop this." And Jesus went back and he said it very beautifully and profoundly. "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." And basically what, again, God is telling us, all of creation was waiting for this day, for this week, for this great battle, and the defeat of sin and death. all of creation for such a long time. Sin and death has been the leading enemy of people throughout ages. They've experienced death. They experienced sin. It's awful. It was never meant to be felt and experienced by any human being. And so, if the disciples are not going to do it, creation will. Because this is the moment, this is the time that God has set up, and this world and the people are ready for it. So, the lesson this morning is Jesus won the greatest battle of all time and provided us with the kingdom of God, we are to celebrate him. We are to celebrate him. We have to understand the significance of this week. This is a week that you can put on a time watch. It's a week that you can go back in history and basically nail it to the day and time that Jesus came in. Look at the calendar, and it was right there at that time. Everything came together in that week, and beautiful events were happening. Again, signifying the work of Jesus Christ, but also allowing us to see into what it was taking for him to become a part of this battle. He was preparing for this, very much preparing for this. He knew it was coming. Disciples didn't know it was coming, but he knew what it was. He had to prepare. That's why Maundy Thursday is so amazing. And I truly, truly want you to consider coming out, because Maundy Thursday was a part of God's great battle plan, preparing his disciples, and Jesus was in the process of preparing himself to go into battle. This was an amazing event. And then he brings us the special Lord's Supper. Changed our perspective on religion, changed our perspective on the Jewish faith. He gave us something beautiful, the cup and the bread, signifying him and the work that he's done through this amazing battle that he had with Jesus Christ. So since Jesus was one of the greatest battle of all time, there have been many, many great battles throughout the world. We can name them. The battle of Hitler and trying to take over Europe, that was huge. That was huge. I mean, people didn't know how close and where Hitler was taking over Europe. You got that going. The same time you got the Japanese army fighting the Americans, and this came very close to being a total disaster for the European countries. I believe God intervened. And God did something amazing. But there have been great battles, but this is the greatest battle. Jesus came in. He knew he had to defeat the enemy. He had to defeat sin and death. And what he did on the cross, what he did preparing himself for that, and how he rose from the dead, gave us victory. Today, the Psalms are out there to celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ into the Holy Week, into Jerusalem. We celebrate after the fact. Okay? We are celebrating because we know that Jesus Christ was victorious and we're part of that. So the greatest battle throughout history, and what it does, every battle is either trying to protect the kingdom or try to obtain another kingdom. Jesus Christ came in to establish the kingdom of God, which is so beautiful because God, as we know in Scripture, has chosen every one of us here, especially the young ones that came today and given their life to Christ and giving, being able to testify that, but also they're testifying that they're a part of the local church, but also they're part of the kingdom of God, which is very significant. Because we live in a world that's obviously is going to pull us and push us in so many different ways, but the kingdom of God always helps us to know who we live for and where we live, especially when we feel we're part of a battle. So he chose us to be a part of his kingdom, and also he chose every one of us to participate in the kingdom of God. Every person in the kingdom of God, every child and daughter in the kingdom of God, son and daughter, has a purpose, has a place in which God has given you ways to be a part of that kingdom. And we need to celebrate. You don't have to do anything but celebrate, which we've been doing all this morning. And my mom, I wish you would have known my mom. She loved the Lord. She truly loved it. I was just amazed. But she's German. She grew up in the time of World War II, and she was there when Hitler was just crushing the Germans, mind you. Hitler came from the back door and was able to be able to present his story, his plan, and many Germans who are leaders wanted to be a part of this. But after Hitler went in and started doing all the atrocities, many, many people, and this is what we have to make very clear, many people that lived in Germany was not a part of this. Matter of fact, they had to be very careful in opposition. And my mom remembered the day, and remember what it's like to through that war, but she remembered the day. She lived in a town called Obermassing, and I still visit there. I have some cousins there. And the USA Army went through Obermassing, and they were going through the streets, and she remembers the whole town just cheering because they won the battle. They defeated Hitler, and their country is back to them. So we have to celebrate. We have to celebrate. And that's why entering into this Passion Week, living those moments, reading those moments, thinking about what Christ did in this amazing week, and then be able to come together and truly celebrate. Sunday, we should be celebrating in a way that, it should be awesome. So you have the freedom. We have the freedom by God's will. Next Sunday is to celebrate the resurrected Christ. And this is the start of that amazing battle. He has done it. He is victorious. He has defeated sin and death. The evil one is bleeding, bloodied, and one day he is going to be completely destroyed and taken away. But Jesus Christ did that for us. And we live in the kingdom, and we live like victorious brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful story. We thank you for helping us as Jesus came in. This was a way of him showing us that he was going to be a part of the greatest battle this world has ever, ever seen or received. And we thank you, God. Help us, God, to celebrate, to thank you, and 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 celebrate with Hosanna and Hosanna, because, God, this is so amazing, so beyond even what we can even comprehend. But help us, God, through your Holy Spirit, to understand the significance of this week and Palm Sunday, and prepare our hearts for Easter. In Jesus' name, amen.